Is
this you that can grab a tissue or something?
Have you got a marker, Christine?
No.
Wait, it was already loose.
Down.
That's okay. I don't have to.
Not a problem. All
about me.
Didn't you just make this 40 years
ago?
How dangerous?
Yes, I did. Because I don't myself.
Wow. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Hi. What's your name?
Anna.
Christine. It's nice to meet you.
Are you a Christopher's mom?
I am Christopher's mom. I am. You're right. All right. Well, I'm so glad. We got a full room. This is the most I've had for a breakout.
Well, actually, I did a women's conference. So that's different. Yeah, go for it. You chose to come to this. I am certainly honored that you came to listen to my story and the story of my family. My name is Christine Duckley, and I am here from, I live in Manchester, New Hampshire. And I've lived here since, some people say they're native, but my parents decided to move to God's country when I was 16 years old. I have two younger brothers, so I'm the oldest of three. And today I'm going to be sharing with you about our family's story, joy in the journey, and the adoption of our son Christopher, who some of you, how many people are familiar with Christopher? Just a few. Okay, awesome. So that means, good, we're starting fresh. I'm going to start with a little parenting story. So Christopher lives with autism and is completely blind. So when he was little, probably around his second birthday, I went to an oculist. And this is a person that could put fake eyes on Christopher because of his blindness. So basically, let's see if I can make this work. Okay, so this is an ocular show, but the decision to make that, when you're making a decision, is very tough. And as I sat him there on like an old dentist chair, really old, like really, it felt like, and reclined him and had that round like metal that you put your head in, I mean just really old, right? And I sat him in my lap because at that time he didn't have the autism diagnosis. He was diagnosed completely blind with retinopathy. ROP, which is complete detachment of his retinas. And so I'm holding him there so that they can take a look to see if we should consider those fake eyes. But those fake eyes meant more than just looking beautiful in the physical characteristics of his eyes. It meant that there was a story behind it. And I silently began to weep. The joy drained right out of me, remembering why I had to sit in that chair with my son. So reflecting on that time when we're feeling low, we're feeling exhausted, we're in a situation that we cannot control, then what do we do? And that's why I'll be talking about joy. And I am learning how to flip the right way here. In Romans 12:12, it says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." And I find that to be very simple. Simplicity is good for us because we are dealing with so many things with the person with special needs that we love so much. So my husband and I had met at a prayer meeting. So I am Catholic, believe it or not. People can't believe that Catholics are saved or have a personal relationship with Christ. But we do, and even at our church believes that we should always love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul. And so I was lucky and blessed that I have a godly husband. And when we got married, there was nothing more important than putting God first in all that we did. Both of us were very involved in our church, especially in evangelization. My prayer life was simple, and it was basically this: God, what can I do for you today? I just really wanted to serve the Lord. So we were married 12 years when my fourth child was born. His name is Luke. So I have four. So at that time, I had four children. Stephen Jr., Grace, Anne Marie, and Luke. And there they are. And we were pretty much the normal type of family. You know, we had our issues, but this was stable and happy, and things were controllable. So I think that time. And after we had Luke, my brother had called me and said, my youngest brother, I have two brothers, my youngest one, said, my girlfriend's pregnant. I have a baby. And I was really happy for him because he was the brother that decided to do things his way. He was involved with drugs. He would sell drugs, use drugs. He had divorced his first wife. He had a child. And so it appeared that he had settled down, and there was a period of time where he really wasn't in prison, that he seemed to be doing what he needed to do to function in society. So initially, I was just very happy about the whole thing. But then there were, I don't say, about 5 months later, and it was shortly after Luke's birth, that we got a phone call that there was a child that the baby was born, and he was 1 pound, 12 ounces. Yeah. And he was born with cocaine in his system. I didn't know that at the time. 26 weeks, and he's in Florida, and I am in New Hampshire. And my mom's getting the phone calls, and she's getting the updates. And basically, there's nothing I could do but to pray for this child that I knew might not be alive in the morning. So basically, I just got down on my knees, and I said, Lord, you know, whatever the will is for your child, help me be supportive of my brother, and just, you know, whatever your will would be. I really was at that point thinking, I know, you know, God's in control, right? So I entrusted Christopher to God. So eventually we found out that there were some issues, obviously I've already mentioned about the cocaine, and so that triggered social services, and on September 11th, a judge determined that not only Christopher, but his two older teenage sisters would be removed from the home. So at that time, Christopher was still in the NICU, but he would be placed in foster care following his discharge. So after 9/11, my brother stopped communicating. And I stopped really thinking about him because I was out of my control. And 5 months went by that I was with some women. We were praying. My husband was on retreat. I was leading a group of men. And the women were talking about adoption, and they were talking about Florida. So God moved my heart. Where was my nephew? And it was like this burning desire. And so when my husband came home, I asked him, is it okay that I contact social services and try to locate Christopher? So here's not only the mommy in me coming out, but also the social worker in me that knows that under these circumstances, usually children are placed in state's care. So when I called the state of Florida, the man who happened to pick up the phone knew of his case and told me that he was placed with a family and that he was totally blind, and then he named at least 10 other medical conditions that Chris had, a hole in his heart. He probably had asthma for the rest of his life. He was low tone. He had a hernia. They just kept on and on. And then they said, well, are you still interested? And I said, yes, that at least I owed it to him as a family member to kind of check things out. So I flew to the state of Florida with an open mind and an open heart. But I didn't fly there thinking that I was definitely going to take those steps. I flew there wanting to know what God's will was. So here's another picture of Chris early on. And that little tube kept him alive. And this is where I met Christopher. I got off the plane, called the foster home, and found out he was in the hospital with double pneumonia. And that little IV there in his foot was the way he was getting his medication. And nobody was visiting him. He looked quite homely. This is not what you expect, right? When I'm coming in those bars. These are literally stainless steel bars for his room. And so what happened? Fear set in. And as I watched them try to replace that IV in his streams, so my kids are 1 to 9 at home. Can I be at a hospital going through this kind of thing? Is it fair to my kids? And so I was really dealing with that for over 5 days. I would go to church, and then I went to the church of where the foster family was, and he was discharged during that time. And I did run around and get all the crazy medication that this guy had, this one didn't, and then we're doing the nebulizer. And how many people can relate to the medical conditions, right? Yeah. And so I was going through that, and so I was really, really struggling. And I was down to the day I was going to leave, and I still didn't decide what I should do. I would call my husband and just cry and say, you know, I don't know what to do. I really haven't heard from God. But what I did is I got down on my knees, and I went face down, and I cried out to him. And I said, would you please give me an answer? And again, I felt that gentleness in my heart as I felt when I was led to find him. That everything was going to be all right, to not be afraid, and that God, that he said he'd take care of everything. So I really felt that that was just the Holy Spirit. It wasn't really an audible voice. It was just that. It's a little more than a feeling, but I felt that that was a message that it was going to be okay to take that step forward. And then it took 4 more months for the process, because when you're in a different state, you have to go do different procedures, and it takes about double the time. So the day came, and there was a lot of commotion, and I think the evil one did not want us to take him home. I mean, I had cut it right close with the court date and the airline tickets, and I was a mess. And even when I got to court, I ended up losing my binder, and the judge had asked us to—Christopher made all kinds of noise. He asked us, removed us from the courtroom, and I was standing there with him, and then it's like 20 minutes later, everyone comes out, and I'm like, what happened? I had no idea if I had gotten custody of him. And so I called social services frantic, and they said, well, no, there was someone in the courtroom that put forth the order, and you now have custody of him. So that day was August 13th of 2002. And when something's going on, we ask God for these little signs, and he delivered. On that day, I have a little prayer of Jabez. And, of course, if you know who Jabez prayed this prayer, part of it was, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and you would keep me from evil. So I had this calendar, and on the day, I ripped this off and I put it away. And the prayer for the day was, the day will come and come repeatedly during your life that you will be so overwhelmed with God's graciousness that tears will stream down your face. I had absolutely no idea what that meant, but I said, that sounds good. I ripped it off and I threw it in a folder. One thing that I do is I have this booklet, and I know different prayer, people have different things they use for prayer. And so in here are the readings for the Catholic Church every day, which is Psalms, Old Testament, New Testament. And so I had brought, this is my lifeline. And that day, the scripture included this. Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me. And Mark, boy, did that make me feel good that we have made the right decision. And the other reason was because if we're going to stand up, church, and say we're pro-life, we better start acting like it. And so we were convicted that this was what we needed to do as a family. And then here we are. Oops. Here we are. One of the first pictures of us as a family. And you can see how young the kids are. And that was just a beautiful moment. So family life started. And so didn't the extra stresses and choosing to have this precious life but not knowing what the future would hold. So my family life changed. So not only did I have the 4, but I had Chris that I immediately started different doctor appointments and things like that. And I quickly adopted this new slogan. Normal is just a setting on your dryer. And I did not come up with that. Patsy Claremont did, or Barbara Johnson, one of the comedians. Because that's how we live. We live in a different place. We live in a different mindset. That our lives are not normal, but they're in the Lord. We have beautiful lives. And so God, we get these glimpses of what life really is about, and it's about the love that we share for all our loved ones. The other thing I like to say is there's also a Star Trek theme that says, going where no man has ever gone before. And I really believe that those are great things to remember about our lives, how special they are. So we loved Christopher as much as we loved our other children.
He's cute.
And so this is within the first couple weeks of bringing Christopher home. right before his baptism, and he was definitely a cutie. Yeah. We were convinced that Christopher would not be a burden, and we focused on what we could do rather than what we could not do. And quickly we found out that his strengths really, how beautiful he was. So here he is with his two brothers. And then one thing he loved to do was clap his hands. From the moment we got him, we called him Clappy. Because he would clap to a beat, and we taught him patty cake. And then the other thing he loved was musical toys. And that's one of the VTech toys. Are some of you familiar with those kinds of toys, where they teach our kids and keep them occupied? He perseverated on those things, so I knew everything it said all the time. This was something else. And to the point with these toys that he would have sheer exhaustion from them. So I was just very grateful for those musical toys. And then Christopher loved motion. So this was probably within the first week we brought him home. Just absolutely loved motion. And so, but there were challenges. Christopher would perseverate on those keys. He would bang his head into the floor, and we didn't know why. We knew he was delayed a little bit. He would speak little phrases, but he really wouldn't converse with us. So, you know, as he got older, that became an ongoing concern. But I really thought, you know, you reason in your mind when there's a symptom of sorts that this is normal and it's going to go away, and I'm just going to hang in there. So, but after a while, we did seek some testing, and Christopher was diagnosed with autism eventually. So, but as I'm going through these things, we come back to our prayer of being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Because as we're going through these steps and seeing different difficulties pop up, it is the daily prayer life that keeps us grounded. So I was losing control over some things, but I wasn't going to let it steal my faith. And yet my joy tank was being drained, right? So I was starting to experience a higher stress. So some of you in here, do you have a favorite scripture that you rely on? Does anyone want to share quickly? If there's anything that you... No? That's okay. I'll keep moving, because I don't have a lot of time. Yes?
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Thank you. That's beautiful. And sometimes we need to plaster those right on the sink, right? Mm-hmm. And remind ourselves in a place that we can see it. One way to have joy in the journey is actually to get out of ourselves and take our family and volunteer if it's feasible. So we bought a very old RV, and we went down to where Katrina had devastated the coast of Mississippi, and we went to 8 Days of Hope. And we just have a heart to get up and, Lord, what can I do for you today? That still remained amongst the challenges that we were having. And this is our crew. And this was the first house we worked on, and in the middle was Miss Sissy. So this trip was significant because, you know, Christopher was having these difficulties, and it was discouraging. And my husband was really good in construction, so he went off, or we went together with the RV to different job sites, and we sheetrocked Miss Sissy's house and did the final coats on it. And so what could we do? Well, I know Luke went in the gutters and he picked up the litter. Stevie worked next to Dad. And then Anne, and this is Anne, and here's Grace here. They were great with the homeowners. They would love them where they were at, and they would also help as they were able. But Christopher couldn't do too much. So, but one thing we found out was when we came back together, they had a little praise and worship. So there was about 500 of us that showed up to go to Mississippi. And the song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, started to play with the worship team. And so at this point, we were kind of friendly with the people. And my husband takes Christopher, and he runs him up to the front of the room. And this gentleman hands him a microphone. And then you hear the song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And the place is transformed. The Holy Spirit works on us, the volunteers. And some of the volunteers have written us to say how that was one of the most meaningful things of the trip. Encountering Christopher, his gentle spirit, and his voice. So that was the first time that I felt, well, gee, look, The day will come and come repeatedly during your life that you'll be so overwhelmed with God's graciousness that tears will stream down your face. So that was one of the indications that God had something special for this little boy. So it was after, so when I don't want to go out of order here, but we did get the diagnosis of autism, and that was a crushing blow to me because, you know, when I was on the floor, God said everything was going to be okay. Right? We've got to believe the Bible, but, you know, there's nothing, God's not going to give us more than we can handle. So what do we do with that? Well, what did I do with it? Because my family seemed to be fine with it. I wasn't okay with the fact that Christopher had autism. I was angry. And I had a choice to make. You know, do I embrace this? Or do I have a pity party all the time? And so the choice was to go forward. And one of the things was to continue to work on the communication issues. And that brings us to my mom saying, hey, I saw this great ad on TV for the Manchester Community Music School for music therapy. Why don't you bring them? And I did. And here's Shannon Lane, a forever friend. It's Facebook's great because you can stay in touch with these people. She has now since left to raise her own family. But she had this unique relationship with Christopher, and she, nice. Talking with her over the years, music was Christopher's language. And so God took this rough piece, and he smoothed it over, and music therapy started that communication and started to bring out that joy, that communication piece, right? And so we're seeing this happen, and so I'm so grateful that God led me to Shannon Lane and the music school. And she said, she came out of that evaluation, and she said, do you know that Christopher has perfect pitch? And do you know that he has unlimited musical potential? Because he knew all the keys on the piano. I had no idea. We had pianos at home, and he would pound on them all day, and he could do Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, but I didn't know he had any potential at all. So Shannon was such a bright light. I'm sure if any of the therapists could have determined that. However, God gave us Shannon. And it was just one of those things that filled me with a lot of great hope at that time. The other thing was, at this age, too, Christopher started school. So I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, please send me someone to be with Chris at school so I don't have to worry. Because all my kids were in Catholic school, and I felt a comfort with that, and it was my faith. And he, you know, the kids were praying, and they were in a different atmosphere. You know, public school, you know, you don't know how God's going to be received. Well, God answered that prayer, and he gave me Lisa Hannell. And in that first year that she was his paraprofessional, we went to the Polar Express together. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful person Lisa is, and she stayed with Christopher for 7 years. Until we left the public school system. Just amazing. An answer to prayer. And again, that joy. The joy. And during that time at school, there was another teacher. And this is Mrs. Park. And Mrs. Park, she saw Christopher's music ability. And she said, well, I want you to lead the class. He's in first grade. I want you to lead the class for the National Anthem at the Memorial Day. All right? The Memorial Day event. And this is how it went.
So, I blew it. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
you got it.
Ready, guys?
that tears will stream down your face. You know, God is so faithful. And I realize that this is kind of maybe extraordinary. Okay? But God, I promise you, God is going to give you or has given you those same moments because he is faithful and he is about joy because he delights in us. He delights in us in every single one of us, regardless of our conditions. And our conditions, I mean, there are people that have a physical disability, but their spiritual condition is just so much better than us because we're just so about so many things. And so Christopher, it's just amazing that we have seen this. So the reminder of being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, that God is faithful. And this has happened, and it continues to happen, one step at a time. So keeping, I'm knocking on that prayer. Daily prayer has really been an anchor in making sure that my joy tank at least stays on low and doesn't get depleted. The second thing is about teamwork. That what you saw there was several teachers and Mrs. Hanel, who had no experience in special education. She had a heart of gold, and she had a natural ability to do her job. She's a natural. To this day, she's a natural as a paraprofessional. And I just think God knew the perfect person to put with my son. But I had to work within that team. I had to practice perseverance. And through this experience, it's hard, but a lot of joy comes through that teamwork that happens and not being alone. So you can decide to lead, or we can decide to have God lead us. I still have to press pause and take in those moments so that I don't allow challenges to overwhelm me. So I asked Christopher, do you want to sit in on the session? And he goes, no, Mom, I don't. But downstairs, he had a brand new phone, and he was fiddling with his phone and not checking some other things we needed to do before his little thing this afternoon. Mm. And so his voice, his demeanor, everything changed, and I was just ready to say, I was just ready to lose it. And so I have to just continue to press my pause button and be patient. I don't know how much time I have. I just want to make sure I... So basically, if any of you know Christopher's story, because of the national anthem, Christopher was recognized by the Manchester Union Leader. He was put on the front page, and they recognized his ability to sing. And so here he is, singing at Stevie's, my oldest basketball game at Trinity High School. So he's not in Catholic school, but he is, right? I'll take it. And from that, the phone began to ring because people thought he was a savant. So he ended up on TV stations in Boston and in our WMUR. And so we got to share our life with people. It was really a joy. But the phone began to ring, and people wanted him to come to different events. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we started to say, well, what do we want to do about this? Do we want to take that little bundle of joy and kind of keep him at home, or do we want to share him with the world? You know, do we want to evangelize? Because part of this was definitely our faith. So, but we decided it would help Christopher with his autism to get out and shake people's hands, to be sociable, and to understand the world isn't about him and his toys and about the specific activity he wants to do all the time. So, and then it gave him a meaning in life, that he could sing the national anthem, that we have a great, great country. And what a proud thing for him to do at that age would be to do that. So, we ended up at Fenway Park in 2011. And here is the team that helped make it possible. And most half of the people are from the school. And here is Christopher's youngest sister, Jocelyn, and here is Kara. So we have had a uniting of our families, that I have made a purposeful decision to stay in touch with his sisters. And there is nothing but pure joy. So this is what happens when we're faithful. Jocelyn writes, and after her experience with us at Fenway Park, she writes, I'm not sure if there will ever come a day that I don't cry when I hear your voice. singing Open the Eyes of My Heart, reciting the Polar Bear Express from memory, naming all the 50 states. Although we live miles apart, I carry you with me always. You are constantly, unknowingly encouraging me to strive forward. I hear your voice in moments of weakness. I hear your voice every day at my job, reminding me to have patience with the extra fussy babies and to be calm in the emergent situations. You were once there too, remember? Jocelyn became a NICU nurse. You have taught me a lot in the decade that you have been a part of my life. You have taught me about perseverance. You have shown me the power of prayer. You have inspired me to never give up. You are a reminder that everything happens for a reason. Even the unfairest of circumstances, they too have a purpose. Whether to teach us a lesson, make us stronger, inspire those around us, you are love beyond measure. Although that measurement was almost tangible last Thursday when merely 40,000 people cheered for you and clapped for you and cried for you and loved you. Every time I say it, I have to, yeah, there's those tears again. I am so grateful that God puts us, we simply have a different life, that we love deeper, and because of that love, we feel the joy. We can capture the moments. And what is it that keeps us from capturing the moments? I think first and foremost is our attitudes. There's so much going on in our lives that we sometimes have to sit down and refocus. And I know earlier there was a session on taking care of yourself. I strongly urge you, if you are not taking time for yourself or with your spouse or significant other, even breaking away, we would leave Christopher behind and I would take my other kids and we would have a normal time together because Christopher sometimes was so intensive that my family needed a little rest from him. You have to, I'm giving you permission right now that it's okay. Because without that, it will drain your joy tank. Because you need to be refreshed. And so one of the things is capturing, is getting a rest. Because that is a joy buster, is our physical health. Social media, where everybody's posting about Disneyland and the newest car. You know, I don't know about you, but I bought a new car when I was fresh out of high school, and that's the last time I bought a new car. And I'm not banging new cars, but what I'm saying is we live a different way, and it's all right. It's okay. We live a different way, but that social media stuff can really, we've got to get off of it.
Yeah.
But then again, I do love it because you know, I'm very careful who I friend, and then I make sure I share positive things. That when we're going through a trial, we're not going through it alone. That we have that team behind us. And if we need teammates, we need to pray for them, and we need to actively find them. So if you're struggling in an IEP meeting, get help. That's what PIC is for. If you're struggling in your marriage, get help. You know, you can even do counseling online. We have so many resources available to us. We have to get out of ourselves, and we have to get support. And even Christopher has a mentor, and it's a beautiful thing because when I'm struggling parenting-wise with him and my husband, we ask Perry. So Mr. Perry is the support person that God put in our place, and Perry will help us work through as a teenager. Christopher has a lot of ups and downs, so Perry will set him straight. Hey, kid, did you make your bed today? And they FaceTime. So isn't that great? And that just, it helps a lot. So the biggest joy builder I have when I'm starting to sing is music. Does anybody listen to Christian music in the room? Yes, okay. For King and Country just came out with this song, Joy.
Yeah.
Anybody heard it?
Yeah.
For King and Country, write that down. For King and Country. And you'll find it on YouTube. Joy. I choose joy. And I love it. And it's a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And it's right in there. And sometimes if you're having a bad day, you just sing that song, you know? Or just say, Jesus, give me joy. You cannot be afraid to cry out to God. Because you know what? I have been in the dumps. I really have. I have felt so I'm not in control. I'm not in control of my spouse's decisions. My other four kids have made decisions that are so bad. I am not in control of them. They are adults. They are adults. 18 to 26. I got to practice this stuff every single day. And so what do I take from that? Well, I got to keep that joy tank up. And so music. You know, I just got unlimited data. $45 with Verizon. And I just kept that K-Love. I got the K-Love app. And if you need a radio station to listen to with very few commercials and a lot of joy, it's K-Love. So write that one down. It's a workshop. So I got homework for you. K-Love. All right? Yes?
Yes.
K-Love. Okay? So music will get us out of that slump, I promise you. Because I'm driving around, I'm just having a bad day, and sometimes I just feel depressed. Believe it or not, I do. And I have a thing in my car, and it magnetizes my phone. All right? Oh, here it is. And I stick it right there, and I just have that. I don't want to change my size. Oh, and by the way, this is Jocelyn and Kara. I just stick it right there. And heck with the local radio stations, I put that K-Love on, even if it's for 2 moments. And God will provide the song that I need at the time. So that's enough about that. So teamwork, and then trying things again and again. That we will persevere. That's one of the scriptures, that we will persevere. Perseverance is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And when we feel that we're not persevering, it is time to text, email, pick up the phone, cry on someone's shoulder because you need some help. Okay? And I don't say that in a negative way. It's in a good way. You just need to recognize it. You will feel so much better when you have someone to confide in that's not going to judge you. I mean, I'm in a high-profile position with Christopher. I am very sensitive about being judged. When he was younger, we travel and everything went into a nonprofit. That's how sensitive I was. But I didn't know anything about running a nonprofit. So the state of New Hampshire sent me this little letter and says, hey, we want to know why you have all these travel expenses. And it's because we've been clear across the country. But I'm not good at nonprofits. And I was told that, hey, I should have had a separate credit card and I should have done this and done that. And so I'm in the spotlight. So if you ever see me on the front page of the Union Leader that, hey, Christopher Duffley's mom has failed as a nonprofit director, well, that's me. So I have a spiritual director, and I have certain people that I can talk to that won't talk to their neighbor, that I can confide absolutely anything in. So I definitely believe that that's important. And, you know, we have to understand, too, that we can't do it all. You know, we think that we're superhuman. You know, moms have the complex. We can fix it. Dads, hey, I want to take care of my family. I'm going to take care of my family. Well, yeah, you are. But you know what? It's a partnership, and it's okay to think that what we've tried doesn't work. We've all tried something, or the doctor says, do this, this, and this. You're potty training, right? Well, Christopher, I just couldn't. First grade, he's still pooping in his things, you know, and it's like, when is this going to stop? And it was Lisa Hanel that provided the consistency, that provided a cheerleader for me, and she helped me through that. So by the end of first grade, Christopher was finally potty trained, you see? But I had to accept that I was powerless in some way, and that I had to make other choices to get there. But then God does provide those times where the rest of the story goes. This is open the eyes of my heart. Has anyone seen this video?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So that is the video that was posted by Mark at the night of worship. He obtained the copy of it unknown to us, and he posts this thing about the only one that had a solo part in the whole night, and talks about Christopher's story and leads people to our website. And so when this went viral, we set up a website for Christopher under ChristopherDuffley.com. And so at first we had just put a few things on Duffley.com, which is my husband's business. But then this video went up, and we started getting inquiries from all over. So here's a picture of Mrs. Hanel. Inquiries from all over the United States. And so we started traveling to churches, to conferences. And then those tears, every time he sings Open the Eyes of My Heart, those tears come down and they remind me through every trial there is that God is in control, and every day he wants us to open our heart. Like every time Chris sings that, it's a prayer. It's like saying the Our Father again. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Because that, when we see God, we see joy, we see hope. We see that things are possible. We see things that are possible. So I know that I had mentioned in the beginning about Christopher's eye appointment, how that made me feel. And at that point, my brother was incarcerated. And, you know, sometimes we need to also practice forgiveness and be forgiven for decisions we've made or things that we've done and words we've said. And so from that point in my life where I literally had such a hard time, I didn't dwell on it, but there was also, see, God isn't just for Christians, right? He's for everybody. It doesn't matter what you've done. And there was hope for my brother. And so 7 years ago, my brother came home. He came home to New Hampshire. And now Christopher has a healthy relationship with him as his uncle. And so God is going to work in all kinds of ways that we cannot imagine if we allow him to. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you so that you can take care of me, that I can hope in you every day, and that your promises are new every morning. Let me just go through here. So, in our lives, we can also expect the unexpected. Can anybody? Yeah? We can expect the unexpected. We meet so many people, like just sitting on buses and planes and in the store. And people are really funny. And I'm sure you get this too. People are like, oh, wheelchair, wow, it's electric.
I go the other
do
way.
I say hi to you? What
no,
do I say?
I go the other direction.
You go, yeah, you say, you,
bye.
You say, you say bye.
It's annoying. I find it annoying. Sometimes.
It's annoying. Okay. Well, Christopher can't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's one thing about being blind. You don't even see any bad stuff, right? So, what I do is I say, well, go ahead and say hi to them. And if they're little kids, I tend to educate them. Have you ever met anyone who's blind? Do you want to see him use his cane? Or, Christopher, why don't you say hi? What's your name? So, in some ways, it's another attitude shift, right? When we're with our loved ones and something is different about them. Some of our loved ones have medical issues that they're hidden disabilities, right? But Christopher has an outward disability. So, we embrace it. And yeah, people might stare, but that's okay. It opens the door for love and acceptance. And I think people are becoming more and more accustomed to this. You will meet a bad apple. Someone will say something stupid. Okay? So someone one time Christopher was jumping up and down, he has his cane, and the guy goes, hey, what's your problem? You're really excited or what? And I go, well, he's totally blind. And he's got autism. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, it's okay. No problem. But yeah, people will say some stupid things. I think they don't really, really understand. But I have to laugh with them. And that's the other thing that brings up the joy meter. Is watching comedy,
yeah.
Right? Christopher's memorizing this thing. It's called Who's On First, right?
Yeah.
All right, Who's On First, What's On Second, Where Is On, yeah.
I don't
know what's on third. All right, there you go. I'm memorizing it for an event next Friday. And so you get a laughter, right? So we have to laugh. If that's not your, if you have not laughed in a while, you've got to find something funny. Go Abbott and Costello and find who's on first, okay? Laugh. And sometimes we have to deliberately make ourselves laugh. There's a new comedian I just discovered. And yes, the F word comes out. His name is Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah. Anyone heard of him?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Good, Ben. What do you think of him?
TV.
He does. Yeah. He's got several on Netflix. What do you think of him?
I don't think anything negative. I don't know him that well.
That's okay. Does he make you laugh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Trevor comes from South Africa. And he was born during a time when the apartheid was just starting. Well, his mother, who is black, had a boyfriend that was white. And she wanted to have a baby. And so she had this baby, this mocha child, and he's Swiss. And so it's funny, he always jokes that his dad loves Swiss chocolate. And Noah, I mean Trevor, has taken his trials of living in the boroughs or the, anyway, in the segregated area of South Africa after apartheid, and what has happened, and he makes light of it. And he makes light of a drunken Mandela talking to Bill Clinton. I don't want to say anything else. But it's hilarious. You better look this guy up. T-R-E-V-O-R, Noah.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I found that. And you know why I ended up looking him up? Because Chris is going to be with him Tuesday at the Autism Society event. And I wanted to know who he was.
Yeah.
So come to find out, his mom took his mom was shot in the back of her head at the time that his career was just taking over. And it's a beautiful story on Netflix. It's okay to, I forget the name of it, It's Okay to Laugh, or The Truth is Funny, or something like that. It's a great documentary of his trials. So anyway, laughter is just so good. And so I'm getting to know him so that Chris and him can relate when we get there. And he is a really great example of someone. And that's the other thing, we all need, do you all here have someone you look up to? Besides Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Are there other peoples in your life that you look up to? Yes. My personal favorite is Mother Teresa. And it's not so much that she's Catholic, but that how she is. She's everybody's mom, right? And now she's a saint. But she's everyone's mom. And I love how she challenges me to love unconditionally. It doesn't matter what shape you're in. I mean, it's really hard sometimes. You know, I want you to work for it, right? I want you to be respectful. So she's teaching me and has taught me how to accept people for who they are and to never waver that there is hope for everyone to know Jesus, to know our God, who is so gracious and wonderful. So here are my kids. This is 2 years ago. And
that's cute.
And here's Christopher at school. He's at Holy Family Academy. And this is another point of joy that I took a step and said, okay, let's try it. Let's go to a small private high school. And we actually starts at seventh grade. And I spent 3 months in the school with him as his aide. The first 3 months. And then where are we today? Is that we feel it's appropriate for Christopher to be in 3 classes with this class. And he's got modified curriculum. And he learns the same as the other kids, just learns differently, right? And he has a Spanish class that's at his own pace. He has a math class that comes in Braille at his own pace. And he has a technology class and an English class that relates to the other classes, but doesn't back down from the things he needs to know in English. So you see, we just need to work it out one step at a time. So he brings great joy to those kids at the school, to his headmaster, and we find ways to do it. So here you can see he's got a device here that he's reading Braille, and then he's got a PC, and he actually did, you'll love this, his science fair project was on the effect of music on children with autism. So I gotta love it. And there he is with his cane. Keep calm, it's just a cane, people. I want to jump over you when you come by instead of saying, hey, Christopher, I'm right here. You know, or just moving quietly one day. People are so funny. I have to laugh. I do. So, anyway, I would... anybody have any quick questions? All right. Well, you've been awesome. I definitely want to stay to the time here. I believe it's 3:15 that we're ending.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. I just want to say a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of today. We thank you for every family in this room, Lord, that you are present with us, that there's nothing that you can't help us handle, that you are with us even when we don't physically feel it, that you are there by our side. So help us to be courageous in our walk. Help us to ask for help. Help us to get our rest. Help us to laugh. And help us to keep our joy tanks at a healthy level. Just please, send your spirit upon us. Give us the gifts that we need to be the leaders of our family, to be the best person we can be, to be there for others and for other families. Lord, we love you, and we give you everything. We give you every concern.
And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Oh, and for attending my session, I have a love bracelet for you. Love on one side and Braille on the other. It's Braille and love, and this reminds you that you can always do something differently.